Track 11, Volunteers' Tales. We now have another contribution from Paul Henderson, a regular Chatterbox volunteer. Paul was a teacher before he retired, and one of his responsibilities was taking pupils on school trips to archaeological sites. Here's Tony Stimpson again with Paul's stories from his travels.
When you retire, how are you meant to fill your time? Yes, there are other charities like Chatterbox providing important ways to give something back to the community, and then playing a bit of golf gives you a chance to get outdoors, do some exercise, and to meet up with old or new friends. But some of us can't switch off from our former lives, so we turn to write the book that is apparently inside everyone. As a teacher of Latin, ancient Greek, and classical history, I had discovered that by organising trips for my pupils to archaeological sites in Italy, Turkey, Greece and Egypt, this was a good way to make the ancient world come alive for them, despite some of the grumpy teenagers only being on the trip because their parents wanted to have a week free of them. Standing in the Colosseum in Rome, by the Parthenon in Athens, or even inside Khufu's pyramid at Giza, does open one's eyes to the lives and deaths of ancient peoples. But the other thing about these trips into Europe is that not everything goes according to plan. On my first trip to Athens, one boy went missing on the first afternoon for over 10 hours. And when he was found by the police sitting on a bench by the local railway station at midnight, it took some time to discover that his parents had sent him to Greece with me so they could take his brother to Disney World. In Rome, we had a member of staff who was surrounded by a gaggle of foreign children trying to sell him some magazines. Once they were shooed away by other adults, he then discovered that his wallet was missing, and he spent the next 4 hours with the carabinieri. Sometimes it was the tour operators who caused the problems, like the time we arrived at our hotel in the Bay of Naples to discover that the rooms had no doors or windows, and others had baths with no plumbing attached. In Egypt, we discovered that our rooms in Cairo were not available until the morning, so our courier started giving our party of 35 children a lecture on the customs and history of Egypt at 2 a.m. in the morning. Later during the same trip, when we had crossed the Nile at Luxor, we found that another foreign party had stolen our tour bus. Fortunately, the tourist police were very helpful and commandeered enough taxis to take us to the Valley of the Kings and to stay with us for the rest of our visit. We learned later that the bus driver lost his license to operate after that little episode. Not everything went wrong, however. The visit to the Turkish baths, or hammam, in Istanbul showed how sensitive the locals were, as they made sure that our youngest pupils were supervised by our staff and were not overcome by the heat. Afterwards, we all enjoyed some mint tea with them while watching the local football team on the television. As we tended to organise these trips during the Easter holidays, we often found ourselves somewhere of interest on April the 1st. Inevitably, this led to certain pranks, getting the tour bus ready to escape from the Solfatara volcanic site near Vesuvius in case it exploded, or warning the pupils all about the deadly spiders to be found on the ground in Ephesus. At least the pupils got used to the teacher's sense of humour. So these stories and more filled the first part of my book. But the next part detailed my rise to become head teacher and the challenges I faced, mainly with the parents. So that's for the next time.
Thank you, Tony. We look forward to hearing more of Paul's tales.